Hello?
Hi, it's Barbara Mann.
Hi, Barbara. This is Tamara.
Hey, Tamara.
Hi, this is Bora Simmons.
Hi, Bora.
Hi there.
How's the weather around the country?
It's gorgeous here in Boston.
We've had it so hot here, and I hate winter so bad that I try not to complain in the heat, but this summer has been just hot. So we stay inside.
Yeah, no, it's a little warm here, but not terrible.
Yeah, we've had.
Some people are complaining, but I'm not complaining.
Well, it's been in the high 90s to 100.
Mm.
And
yeah, no, I think we've been in the 80s.
So, what's the topic today? Do we have one?
We don't know. Brian?
Okay. Yes, hi.
Hi. We don't have a specific topic today.
More informal,
as somebody asked, is more informal discussion today. And basically during the summer, because so many people are traveling and on vacation and things, we do have the call every week. But we generally don't schedule any presentations and things until the fall.
Right, right. So it's good and quiet.
Yeah.
Just you and I.
Well, I must say, though, that I listened this morning. For those of you who don't know, I was on jury duty last week, and so I couldn't listen. I couldn't be on the call with David Blockstein and Leo Wiggin describing their book. And so I actually listened to the recording and watched the PowerPoints this morning. So that was very good.
Oh, there you go.
It worked really well.
Yeah, it always does.
I'm trying to get through the book, but not much fun.
Well, I my problem is I just generally don't have time to read things, and so I find it important that when I have the opportunity to have at least given an overview picture, that I have some better concept of what it's about. So if I do get to read pieces of it, I have a context. And
right.
They showed certain pictures where I'm not really sure of those pictures, so now I can go to the book and sort of read more detail about those particular pictures that I wasn't sure of.
And
I didn't realize also that a lot of this stuff is on the Encyclopedia of the Earth website, so we can take a look at it there too.
I had to walk out of the room for a minute when they were given instructions on how to get to the PowerPoint, So I didn't pick up on where the PowerPoint was.
The PowerPoint is on the Climate Literacy Network website under the teleconferences.
Okay.
So I actually didn't send it this time because we didn't have a specific topic, so there was nothing particularly to read. But what I usually do is if there is a topic that we're going to have and there's a PowerPoint, then I give the URL for that site And so that's where we would post the PowerPoints.
Okay.
So if you on a computer now, I can tell you where to go.
I'm on the Climate Literacy Network page.
All right, so then go to, then on the left-hand side there's a menu bar.
Yeah.
And you can go to the teleconference schedule.
Homepage, PLN information, teachers menu, students menu, climate links, climate docs.
So there's on the home page, there's essential principles, there's a climate literacy network, and there's a climate change education projects, and then there's teleconference schedule. Did you see that?
I'm not finding it.
All right, so we're, let's see.
I'm on the
so are you at cleannet.org/CLN?
No, I'm on climate literacy.
Oh, no. cleannet.org/CLN.
Yeah.
Tamara, this is Scott. I don't actually see a link to to the presentation. Is it possible that you're only having...
There's no presentation today.
Okay, I just wondered...
We're talking about the presentation from last week, and it's there.
Yeah, it should be there under show notes.
Right.
Yeah.
So was that Barbara that was asking?
Yeah, I
did
got
you
it.
Find it?
Yeah.
Okay, so then you just click show notes for June 22nd, and then there's two little bios, and then the link to the presentation, and then the link to the recording.
Okay, that's great. Thanks.
Hi, this is Marta. I just came on. I'm sorry. Can you do that again?
Okay, so you go to cleannet.org, cleanet.org.
There's only one N?
Just one. Then /CLN.
Okay,
did you get there?
No, that takes you to the schedule, right?
Well, no, that takes you to the homepage of the Climate Literacy Network. Then on the left-hand side, you click on teleconference schedule on the menu.
Okay.
Then that gets you to the schedule. And then you scroll down, and under past teleconferences, we were talking about last week's. So for June 22nd, if you click on the thing, show notes, it'll drop down, and there'll be a link to the PowerPoint slides and a link to the audio recording.
Gotcha.
So, and I listened to it this morning. It worked very well. The only thing I kind of wish is that the audio recording listed how far you were in the discussion, like how many minutes, because I might have skipped some of the hello, how's the weather kind of things. And I had to stop where I was well past the end of the presentation and people were just having a discussion, but I had to leave, so I couldn't tell. I could say approximately where I was. If I wanted to come back and listen to it later, I can't say I need to go to minute 48, which would have been nice, but doesn't show you that. So what can I say? So we have Barbara and Bora and Brian and Scott. Who else do we have?
Marta.
Steve Ackerman.
Marta.
Elaine.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Welcome back, Steve.
Oh, yeah, it's good to be back, I'll tell you. Hot and sticky there.
Hot and
Where
sticky
were
here,
you?
Too, in Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin was also hot and sticky. Sorry, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I was in Taiwan.
Oh, I see. What were you doing there?
Oh, that was good.
I was doing some workshops there and attending a conference and visiting the Weather Bureau there.
Oh, I see.
But it's nice and low dew points here in Madison now, which is very nice.
Good.
Yeah, Margaret's on too. Hi, guys. And actually, hi, Steve. I'm at home because it's so nice out. This is an amazing week here in Wisconsin. It really is.
Yeah? Well, that's good.
Karen's here.
Hi, Karen. Okay, so we get started. Are there any announcements of ongoing activities or things that people want to share?
So this is Margaret, and I started to share this a couple weeks ago, but I just wanted to tell the Climate Literacy Network, and Tamara, you made me think of it partly because you said if we ever want to put the Literacy Network into little proposals, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it into a community proposal here in Madison at the 40th anniversary of Earth Day. There's a group here called the Madison Environmental Group, and they had a challenge that you could apply to, and that was to cut your home energy use by 40% below the Madison average. So we did apply, and we found out a couple weeks ago that we are in the challenge. It's like Survivor for cutting your carbon footprint. And there's like five households, and it started last week. So I thought every now and then, like, you know, four times a year, I might, like, post on the Climate Literacy Network page or something like what we're doing.
Okay.
So in our household, and share the coolest tips that we learn or the hardest things we do with the Climate Literacy Network.
Yeah, we can start a discussion thread on the Climate Literacy Network page, and you can make announcements there of what's going on.
Hey, Margaret.
That's why I put my
this is Barbara Mann. You're welcome to post it on the NASA GCCE page too, under the forum. It's only
that'd be great
for people that are in the group, but I think everybody else would probably like to hear about your solutions there.
Yeah, so would I. But yeah.
So what is the group that actually applied? You at the university or some other group?
No, my household.
Oh, your household.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's a community thing, you know, like my family.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the amount of the grant?
No, it's not a grant. It's just a challenge.
Oh, it's just you signed up.
I signed up. I applied, and they picked some families, and they're going to help us. They're going to come, do a home energy audit, and, you know. Actually, we know some things we should be doing all along that we haven't done, and when we applied, we thought, well, we're going to wait now. So we're going to just try to, I mean, we have a second refrigerator. We're going to unplug it. I'm saying the obvious things now. We have an old house. I think they're probably going to tell us, you know, to get rid of our fireplace and put in a, I know, I can imagine some of the things they're going to tell us, and we're going to try to do it. We're going to probably sell our second car, and, you know, but anyways, I would like to post on Climate Literacy Network and share some
sure,
of the
no, that would be great.
That I learned with this group, and that's what I said when I applied. I said, I'm part of this national network, and I think that we could make a bigger bang, because everyone in this group is probably interested in reducing their carbon footprint, too. So
well, that sounds great.
Margaret, I think that's great. And in addition to listing the things that you're doing, I think
Yeah. Having
your sense of humor, it would be great if you could put in little anecdotes and, you know, things about how the family's reacting. I think it'd make for some really good reading.
Okay, especially our teenagers.
Right.
Did your family agree to this, or did they go kicking and screaming?
My partner did, and then the kids don't hardly know what they're getting into. They're not kicking and screaming.
Okay. Well, that's good. How old are they?
Well, the one goes, so we have a college student who's home for the summer. We have a senior, a girl who's going to be a senior next year. She's actually very energy conscious, so she's easy. She's way ahead of all of us. She's already told us she's not having kids because it's bad for the population. I said, can you just have one? She said, no, I'm going to adopt. I said, okay, fine, you know. We have an exchange student performance next year, too, so we'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting. But I do want to share some of the highlights with this group and the NASA group, too. And but I did put it in my application. We had to apply. We had to do a 200-word essay. And I said, well, I'm part of the Climate Literacy Network, and I'll be sharing the highlights with them.
Great. Very good. Well, anything we can do. That'd be great. Any other announcements or discussions?
Well, just for information purposes, this is Karen, and I had my infrared blower door energy audit a year ago, and I am finally this week in the process of moving out of my first floor, and the contractors are moving in less than a week.
And what are they going to do?
Well, everything from rigid foam to caulking to taking out my fireplace and putting in built-in cabinets instead that are, you know, super insulated. I was hoping for at least a 30% reduction, but the Energy Raider computer program that my contractor uses doesn't show 30% yet, so I'm eager to find out what I'm going to be able to get.
Mm.
Well, Karen, I might be calling you for help.
We re-insulated our whole house about a year ago, and it had a significant impact on our heating bills in the winter.
So, by the way, I only have
other problems. Go ahead.
Because you did it?
Well, because the people who put in the insulation weren't careful, so that they crunched a pipe that ended up leaking into the ceiling, and we didn't realize it until we ended up with water on the dining room table.
Oh, my God.
So, there you go. Okay, well, one other, are there any other announcements?
Yeah, this is Mark. And,
hi, Mark.
I joined a little late here, but the first week of July here in Boulder, the Council for Environmental Deans and Directors, which is an organization sponsored by NCSE, National Council for Science and the Environment, is having their meeting here in Boulder, and there's also going to be a climate education workshop as a part of that. So I can let everybody know what emerges out of that.
Okay, great. So I can give a little update on the Clean Pathway Project, not a whole lot of detail, but where we are in the process of identifying educational resources that this time around are all in the form of, we're only looking at activities while we define our review process. And we are going to be having the review boot camp in Boulder at the end of July. And we're busy trying to get science reviews now and get the rest of all of the reviewers trained in the process before the end of July. So that's where we are right now. And one of the things that we can have a little bit of a discussion about this now, but we might have a more formal discussion about it later on, is once we get this this first pass at the collection, we're going to start wanting to think about how we're actually going to design the page for the Climate Literacy Network. And we might start a discussion now about what might people think should appear on that front page of the Clean Pathway portal. I know that, I mean, one of the visions I have is that people will be able to search the collection either coming through looking at the individual essential principles and fundamental concepts and finding relevant educational activities, or coming through the various standards and finding the relevant educational activities, or searching through the collection topically or by age, or and those kinds of things. But are there other things that people, or other functionalities that people think might be useful to have on in such a portal?
I think this is Marta. I think, as an relative outsider, I think the question, and you may have already addressed this internally, is: do you want this to be for people who already know what they're looking for, or people who are new and need to be kind of led? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's intended for both, and that's why we want to search for various avenues to search, so that there are those who do know what they're looking for, and there's an avenue for them to go, and then for people who are not so sure, there's an avenue for them to go.
There you have it. That's the dilemma.
Well, the thing is, I mean, if you're not sure what you're looking for, you may just start with the essential principles and find something you're interested in, and then finding an activity that addresses it. I mean, that's one avenue where, if you're not sure what you're looking for, you can, you know, find something that way.
For age levels.
If you were to come through it through the essential principles, you'd see multiple age levels, but then there would be an avenue to search just by age level so that you could narrow it down. And the resources that we're looking at will be for grades 6 through 16. So I don't know if anybody has any other thoughts on that.
And I'm just assuming that if I were working with a community group of adults, if I looked in the things for grades 12 to 16, I may very well find some things appropriate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's not to say that even looking at the whole collection, if you're an adult, I mean, it's simplified more if it's a middle school activity, but that doesn't mean that you couldn't, you know, an adult might not learn something from it and may lead to something else. So I wouldn't, the reason that we outline them that way is because at the different grade levels there are specific curricular needs. But for an adult, I would think that the entire range is fair game.
Yeah.
You know, and if you find something that at the middle school level is boring to you, then you can just move on to something that's higher level. The other piece that we'll be adding eventually is some of these social networking tools, and that will also eventually, that won't come with the first incarnation of the site, but it would be something that people would be able to access. And I've been talking to people how to address what communities, and in terms of the social networking tools, I've been told that it's very much age-directed, and that you effectively use online tools, you need to do 20-somethings and younger, and the rest of us 30-somethings and older don't do that quite as effectively. And so one audience that was suggested to try to do, and I think we might try to pursue this, is the pre-service teachers, because they're definitely in the 20-something bracket and could have a much larger impact ultimately on student learning. So I'm going to be pursuing that. I haven't really mentioned this much yet since the project team is so focused on getting through the review boot camp. We haven't discussed these larger issues yet, but I have been beginning to explore them.
Tamara, can you give us just a brief overview of the next 6 months to a year in the project? You mentioned the boot camp is end of July.
Okay, so the time frame is that we started in January, and we're identifying, the goal is that that the site will go live in November, which is the next National Science Digital Library meeting. And so within that time frame, we've been identifying, and we've developed a review process, and we've been identifying resources and been putting them through this review process. The review process is quite rigorous. As part of the project, we have resource collectors. They've identified resources, and they've created an initial review, and we will eventually be sharing the review criteria. We can make a presentation on the Climate Literacy Network, but we wanted to get through the boot camp to sort of get it firmed up. There's been one round of reviews, and then the resource collectors have reassigned all of them that have had one review to another resource collector for a second round review. In addition to that, we're seeking science reviews, and some of our project team have the expertise to do the science reviews, and for those that they don't have the expertise, we're seeking scientists who do have the expertise to provide the science review. And then at the review boot camp, groups of us will be broken, and each group will have a scientist and an educator, and I think there's on the order of 4 to 5 people on a team. Mark, you can correct me on that. I think that's the right magnitude. And those teams will have a set of resources similar to like a review panel for a proposal at the National Science Foundation, where they'll discuss each resource collector, or each person on the team would have a set group that they're to describe and lead a discussion about, and they'll have the other reviews that have already been done, and they'll make a decision. And we're only those that have gotten high or medium priority go on to the boot camp. So those that have low priority, we're just have what we call a holding tank right now. And then once we get and through this process, the review form not only has check boxes, does it pass this, does it pass that, but it also has places for the reviewers to make comments that are helpful to the educators. And these annotations will be added to it so that those that pass the review boot camp, so that there's a thumbs up by the team that has addressed a particular resource, those will be cataloged along with the annotations that have been provided by the reviewers and by the team. And that's the collection that will go live in November. And the ultimate collection, we said, would have 500 resources. This first round, we're shooting for 100 accepted into the collection. And I think right now we have about 200 that are given high and medium priority. So So we sort of are shooting for 50% of that to make it into the collection. So that's as for the collection, that's the goal is November, and then we have two more rounds for two more passes on going through that process again to fill in holes where we haven't addressed specific essential principles or fundamental concepts or specific grade levels. The other thing is we've kept this collection very restricted this time while we've been defining the review process to only activities. There are activities that only take 1, 2, 3 class periods to do, and all completely self-contained. Everything that you need is within the resource, or it tells you where to get it, if it's an online data set or something. But in the next round of reviews, one of the things we'll ask for input from this group and also probably from our advisory board in particular is in the next round, we won't be just looking at for activities. We will want to expand the collection to use other kinds, to include other kinds of resources, and examples could be an entire course or curriculum. Much broader, would take much more effort to review such a thing because it's much larger. On the other end of the spectrum, there are a lot of visualizations that we've identified and are kind of what I call this holding tank right now that don't that aren't embedded in an activity right now, but which we would create something called an activity sheet for, so that it would give it some pedagogical structure. Still wouldn't be an activity, but some visualization or some kind of tool that is very useful in understanding a particular essential principle or fundamental concept. And we will probably open up in the next passes to those kinds of resources. And those are just examples. There could be other kinds, too, that we'll discuss. There could also be background materials, things that aren't there are descriptions of background materials that support understanding of a particular concept. The other piece is, as I mentioned, is the social networking piece and the professional development piece. So once we have a collection, we can start the professional development pieces. Include there's two types. One is a short-term professional development, which is basically a webinar, a teleconference, online workshop in which in a couple of hours we walk somebody through one of these activities that have made it into the collection, so that afterwards whoever participates has accessed whatever material they need to online and has successfully done the activity and has it, if any relevant materials, on their computer, their home computer or their school computer. The other kind of professional development piece is similar to the cutting edge workshops that Kathy Manduka runs. She will be running 2.5-day virtual workshops on climate and energy for undergraduate faculty, and those will be also virtual. Those are two of the professional community development activities. And the third is this social networking piece that I've mentioned that we're trying to get our heads around, and so we'll be pursuing that. And so in the fall, how the website's going to look and how we're going to pursue these other things will be the major efforts of first of discussion and then implementation during the beginning of the second year of the project. So that takes us probably through next spring. So I don't know, Mark, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I think you covered the bases there. We are getting lobbied by one of the people on our team to change the name from boot camp to SPA.
But, yeah. Well, I've actually been calling it more often review camp.
Yeah.
We did call it a review boot camp in the proposal, so that's kind of where my mind is.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think the other piece of it will be that, you know, many of us applied for the climate change education partnerships projects, and I think how we interact with those that end up getting funded, I mean, hopefully some of us get funded, but in any case, the Clean Pathway Project will begin to think about how to interact with those projects once they're identified. And I don't know how that will play out yet. And I think the Climate Literacy Network will also play a role in that.
Emma, this is Marta. Will kids be involved in any part of the review process, or could that happen?
Not at this point.
I'm just thinking.
No,
that,
and this is really geared for teachers. You know.
Oh, okay.
Fairly high level science, and teachers are the main audience for this particular.
Gotcha. Sorry, I didn't realize that. Just as a point of information for those of you that might want to involve kids, that there's a climate champion. You know about them from the British Council has identified various kids from around the world, actually, that
mm-hmm.
are doing extraordinary work.
Mm-hmm.
They might be a resource at some point, or even, you know, subjects of profiles.
One of the things that it might be really nice to try to do is, I think we need to get our heads around the social networking piece, but kids are a good candidate for that kind of community because they're very networking savvy.
Yeah, exactly. And the other two questions is at some point whether, you know, artists will be involved in the visualizations, whether that might be a...
That would be fine. I mean, see, one of the things that's different about this project is that we're not creating any of these activities or materials. So if you have, you could submit for consideration visualizations that artists have had input into or things that you've developed that you think are worthwhile. There is on the Climate Literacy Network, Clean Pathway Project site now, there's a place where you could input suggested resources that we should consider. And as I said, right now we're only looking at activities, but that's just for this first pass. So if you were to enter things there, they would be available for the next round of consideration. So there's certainly an avenue for that.
Yeah, we just have to figure out how that could get funded, you know, how that time of identifying those folks and you know, putting the information on. Because there's stuff out there that's just really unbelievable that I'm discovering anyway. It's really great.
Well, when you see them, you should just make a suggestion. I mean, it doesn't take much time to put it. This isn't, when you put it in, it's just a suggestion to be considered. And then the project will take care of reviewing it and seeing what it aligns to and those kinds of things.
Uh-huh.
That's all you need to. So if you find a site that's particularly good, go ahead and enter it into the suggestions. And if you want to, in addition, email me or somebody from the Clean Pathway Project that you know that you've done that, so that we're aware. I mean, it will show up, but you can bring our attention to it too.
This is Barbara Mann, and we are happy to accept anything, any resources like that for the NGCCE website too, for the NASA
mm-hmm.
website. Because we're building resources, so if anybody has anything floating around they think is great, please send them to me. Not to horn in on Tamara's stuff, but opportunity exists.
GCCE?
It's Global Climate Change Education.
Okay, great, thanks.
And do you want to say what the website? Want to spell out the website
yeah,
for
the
her?
The website is what is it? GCCE.LARC. That's for Langley Research Center, .nasa.gov. And my email address is bmann, B-M-A-N-N, at odu.edu.
So this is Margaret, and I wanted to say something about the GCCE site. It's kind of cool that you can search resources by essential principles.
Well, thank you.
I thought that was pretty cool when you guys brought that on board this spring.
Thank you. I think that came from Lynn Chambers and Andy Geyer's been working on that for about almost a year now. So thank you very much. We're constantly accepting new stuff. I know Andy's working on another project for the summer with students, but come fall she'll be looking to add a lot more resources. So it's open. We just we're building that and hoping, since it's NASA, that maybe the public will find it too, and educators, just like Tamara.
Okay, are there any other comments or questions or discussion? As I was saying, earlier, some of you may have been called in, but call them in later. Since I missed last week's telecon, I actually listened to the audio recording of it and watched the PowerPoints this morning. It was very good. I enjoyed watching it, and I encourage anybody who is interested to go back and look at either this presentation. We have the recordings of all the others also. So you can go back and just as you went to look at last week's on the website with the teleconference schedule, as you go down, you'll see the previous ones, and you click on the show notes part, and you'll see the link to any presentations that were given on that day and any and the recording. I think we have recordings now going back to April.
I think that's true, Tamer. Like the 28th of April or something.
Yeah, something like that.
There's about 8 or 9 of them right now.
Okay, well, if there are no more comments and questions, we can end. I look forward to talking to everybody next week.
Great.
Actually, yep, next week.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.